reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex first.
Woo!
Diamond ring first.
Woo!
Hit dealing.
Woo!
Wheeling dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Welcome everybody to another edition of Doing the Favor podcast. It's NFL Weekly Pick'em. So this is obviously the first time we've been doing it on the show, doing it all year, but we were just kind of making like one long show. So we just decided to break it up a little bit. So we have our wrestling figures and merch, and then we have our weekly pick'em. Barry, welcome, brother.
It's good to be here. Excited.
Sorry I didn't have the big sexy introduction for you.
That's all right. These are our sports fans here. These are our diehards. They know what we're all about here. This is the show where we get wild.
So first, we're going to talk about our weekly FanDuel. As I pull the numbers up here really quick. So we have 10 people. I expanded to 15 this week. So I'm going to send some more invites out, post a link. Anybody who wants to join. And basically, the first 15 people who put a draft in are going to be entered. So don't wait till Sunday morning, Barry.
That's right. I do it.
But we'll go ahead and view the leaderboard. First off, the leading players in FanDuel. I'll go ahead and just give you a top five here. Devontae Adams, 26.8 points. This is just for Sunday, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock games. Just the Sunday day games. Not Monday Night Football, not Sunday Night Football, not Thursday Night Football. Just Sunday day. So Devontae Adams, 26.8. Russell Wilson, 28.74. DK Metcalf, 34.1. He had 12 for 161 and two tutties. Okay. Pat Mahomes decided to get his stats up against the Jets. 416 and five tutties for 36.64. And Dalvin Cook, 30 carries, 163 yards, and three touchdowns. I actually had DK Metcalf in the lineup and took him out at like 12:55, did some rearranging and put in Tyler Lockett. That pissed me off. But we'll go ahead and we'll do the standings, how they went. Pulling up the rear at number 10 was you. 73.34 points. What happened?
I don't appreciate your tone. What happened was, you know, I thought Le'Veon Bell was going to do work. He did not.
He did not.
Fucking absolutely shit the bed.
Shit the bed.
Who else did I have there? I think I had Devontae. He tore it up. Derek. I mean, I just had a couple players that just didn't show out. I mean,
you did not have Devontae Adams. You had Aaron Rodgers instead. Lev Bell, Jonathan Taylor. Rashard Higgins got you one catch for 14 yards.
Yeah, so Cleveland Brown.
Well, it was the weather. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that game.
Because
there was no stat. There was no numbers on either side of the ball for either team.
Yeah, and Jonathan Taylor fucked me over too. I thought fucking he would be able to do something against that Lions defense, and he didn't fucking do anything. But yeah, I had Derrick Henry though. I think
number nine was Rucker. Number eight was Sam, at Son of Sam I Am. Number seven, Greco. Number six, Drew. Number four, tied for four. 111.74 was Soda Hunter and Mathis Golden. Number three in the money now, so top three pays out. Nick Haddix, who had a lot of 1 o'clock guys and jumped out on us. And then me and Ty both had a bunch of 4 o'clock guys. Number two was Ty with 115.24. And I took the win, 115.74, so I won by 0.5 points. Very last second. I could have had a lot bigger score if I hadn't made some last second adjustments. Big play for me was Russell Wilson, 28.74. And I was pretty consistent all the way down. Jamal Williams, 15. Took kind of a roll of the dice on Hasty for the 49ers. He got me a touchdown. Justin Jefferson was absent. Tyler Lockett didn't do much. Tyler Boyd's consistent. I think he's a really nice fantasy play. for $6,400 especially. So TJ Hockenson got seven catches for 65. There was a period of time where Stafford was just beating him the ball when Galladay went down. Keenan Allen, the best receiver for Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is balling right now. And the Kansas City Chiefs defense got me nine. I just picked whoever played against the Jets. So we will see. Also, I'm leading the overall standings as well. So open up my lead on that a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and put the referral out a couple times this week. Barry, get your lineup in quick because it might not be till Sunday. Sunday morning might be too late.
I'm doing it right now.
Are you doing it right now as we record a podcast?
As we record this podcast, I'm doing it for you right now.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go over our pick'ems real quick from week 8. Last Thursday, 10/29, you had the Falcons at Packers. You picked the Falcons. I'm sorry, Falcons at Panthers. My apologies. You picked the Falcons. I picked the Panthers, and the Falcons got the win.
Hey, there we go.
So, they thought about blowing it.
As they do every week.
But I tell you what, that team, you can just tell at the end of the game, their assholes just pucker right up, don't they?
Yeah, they...
My goodness. Then on Sunday, yeah, the Patriots at Bills. Bills got the win. Patriots fall to 2-5. They're trash. Cam hasn't been the same since he got COVID. They don't have receivers. Sony Michel, he's hurt. He's been a bust for them. They got a couple guys out on COVID on the defensive side of the ball, and they're looking to move. They didn't move him, but they're sounds like they want to eventually by the draft. Stephon Gilmore. Ooh. Saying it's going to take a first and a player to get him. What if they tank and get? I don't know if they're going to get Trevor Lawrence because the Jets, I think, are going to have the first pick in the draft. Potential landing spot for Justin Fields?
That could happen.
For the way Belichick talks about wanting to evolve the offense, and people say he's kind of fallen in love with the whole option. We'll see. But Justin Fields, Bill Belichick likes smart players that don't make mistakes. I know this is going to sound real homer right here, but Justin Fields is a talented athletic player that does not make mistakes. So they would love him if that's what they're looking for. Big upset of the weekend, Titans at Bills. We both picked Titans at Bengals. I'm sorry. I'm going to get my shit straight here. We both picked the Titans confidently, and the Bengals went in there and dog walked them.
Hey. Joey B is not scared.
I tell you, as a Browns fan, I am not looking forward to seeing that guy two times a year for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical, and he has won me over.
You know, he played the Browns twice, threw for over 300 yards the first time, threw for over 400 yards the second time. Now, he did have turnovers, which as a rookie quarterback, you know, fumbles is always tends to be a problem with these guys because of the speed of the game, things like that, you know, the internal clock. They get fooled by the defense a lot. Some of the throws this kid's making, I mean, if you break it down, you look at like the all-22. I mean, he's throwing the ball before receivers are even out of their breaks, and it's hitting them perfectly. I'm talking like left shoulder, so dude didn't get hurt. You know what I mean? Like it's amazing what he's doing. So hopefully he didn't get beat up too much. They've done a better job of keeping him upright past couple weeks, and his numbers are showing it. So once they get some more talent around him, I definitely think they got the right guy. This young quarterback class we'll talk about is impressive to say the least. Raiders at Browns. You pick the Raiders. I pick the Browns. This was a weather game. You had hail, you had snow, you had rain, you had sunshine. Just Ohio weather all the way through and through. The Browns could not stop the run at all. So once they got down by 10 points, it felt like it was done. We missed a field goal late. The wind was 40, 50 mile an hour in the stadium. It was absolutely ridiculous. Kareem Hunt's good. He's not Nick Chubb. I need Wyatt Teller to come back. Obviously, Odell's not. But, you know, this isn't one that I pin on Baker Mayfield. You know, the tendency is to point at the quarterback, especially when the offense isn't going. But with the weather, he had five drops, few of them on key third downs. That's tough to overcome. It really is. So he didn't make any mistakes. I don't think he threw any picks. He may have flirted with it once that I can think of, but for the most part, he did what he was supposed to. He went where he's supposed to go to with the ball, and he didn't deliver. Especially the weather didn't deliver bad balls. So I'm not down on Baker this week. I'm down on David Njoku, and I'm down on the defense. And Jarvis has been putting the ball on the ground a little bit too. Jarvis, the guy we need to step up huge. So it is what it is. Browns 5-3. We have a bye this week. If you told me for the season, 5-3, second or third easiest schedule rest of the way out after the bye, I'd say, fuck, I'll take it.
There it is.
You know, so not too mad about it. Colts at Lions. I picked the Colts. You picked the Lions. Barry, go ahead and talk about this one.
Yeah, it was, I was expecting Phillip Rivers to come out, make some big plays. I thought this would be a big, you know, blowout, the whole deal. And that's what it turned into. I mean, Rivers had 262 yards, three touchdowns, you know, but Stafford, you know, he had 336, three touchdowns, but again, turnovers, his, you know, these guys had he threw a pick six. I mean, you can't do that. Their defense is fucking ass. And what can you say? I mean, the Lions, every team in that division basically lost except Minnesota, which is a fucking shocker, but we'll get there. But yeah, Phillip Rivers looked good. Hines looked good. He had 54 yards, two touchdowns, you know, and it's the Lions, so Colts with the big win.
Colts are a good team. I'm trying to figure them out still. Browns beat them. So, you know, trying to figure out where these teams are, especially in the power rankings. Matt Stafford's a guy who I run hot, and I'm not going to say cold. I'll say lukewarm on. I think that if he gets drafted to another franchise, I'm not dogging the Lions here, but they are what they are. You know, they struggle year in, year out. Staying healthy, putting consistent talent on the field, bad drafts. And I'm not throwing daggers here. I'm a Browns fan, for God's sakes. But it is what it is. And I thought Matt Stafford, he's going to have historically great numbers. And I don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
No, and, you know, a lot of people, I mean, to his credit, like, he's shown he's more than just what he was when Megatron was there. Because it was throw it up, Megatron goes and gets it. Oh, you know, he's got Megatron. He can just fucking throw it up. His numbers are inflated. He don't have that anymore, and he's still throwing for over 300 yards. But I'm with you. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer either right now.
That's a whole discussion one day.
Right.
Vikings, Packers. We both took the Packers with confidence, and the Vikings won. Your thoughts?
The Packers fucking run defense. Dalvin Cook said, give me the ball 30 times. Let me run for 163 yards and three touchdowns. Then he had two catches for 63 yards and another touchdown. And the Packers just could not get out of their own way. I mean, they were up 14-7. They give up a Dalvin Cook, you know, run right before half. And then they come out. They get the, you know, Dalvin Cook has two touchdowns in the third quarter. And Davante Adams scored in the fourth quarter and they got the two-point conversion. But then nothing. The Vikings held on. They tried to give it away, though. Don't let that fool you. But they were the only team there in the North to get a win. And they beat the number one Packers. So we'll see.
Great example of parity in the NFL. You know, as we go along, these teams, we prop up and put on pedestals and think they're really good, they have holes. They get exposed, and then they play teams that they don't match up well against because of the said holes. Great example, Packers run defense, and the Vikings, who Dalvin Cook back, they want to pound the ball with him. 30 carries. And I played Justin Jefferson in multiple FanDuel fantasy leagues with big hopes that at least we get some garbage time. And no, we did not. So kudos to Dalvin Cook, I guess. Didn't have to let trash-ass Kirk Cousins throw the ball. Jets and Chiefs. We both picked the Chiefs with confidence, as we should have. They dog-walked the Jets. Jets are the worst team in the NFL. And the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. So this is a stat game. Pat Mahomes said, let me get my stats up. Let me get my numbers up here. I was sitting there watching on the ESPN Fancast, like, holy shit, this dude just keeps throwing touchdowns.
We have 4-16, 5 touchdowns. That's insane.
So good day for him. No surprise there. Next game, we did get a surprise, though. Rams at Dolphins for Tua's first start. Tua throws for under 100 yards. So you told me, okay, Tua's first start against Aaron Donald and the Rams. Tua only throws for 93 yards. And the Dolphins win? So you had defensive touchdowns. You had defensive touchdowns. You had Tua throw for one. You had a special teams touchdown. Just, you know, all facets of the games were working, and the Rams had a letdown going in. And Dolphins had a good game plan coming off the bye. And I don't think Chan Gailey really wanted to expose Tua too much in his first NFL start, particularly against Aaron Donald. But, you know, they ended up getting the win.
You can't hate on them for that. They're above 500.
Still a lot of question marks about Tua. And I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player. I'm not dogging Tua. I think I'm a Tua fan. I love Tua. But you just never know what you're going to get with these guys, right, when they come from college to the NFL, no matter how talented they are. We've seen number one overall picks, guys with just unlimited potential and strong character, go to the NFL and not make it happen. So we will see. I don't know if there is – a reason they didn't really unleash Tua other than they didn't really need to. But we will see their next start. Next up, we have the Saints at Bears. We both picked the Saints with confidence. This game ended up going to overtime. Saints ended up getting the win. Drew Brees, a couple takes here. Drew Brees' arm is dead. And with no Michael Thomas constantly running slants, they can struggle at times. They really can. On the other side of the ball, this Bears offense is they have a lot of question marks. I don't know why they bring. Why would you even bring in Trubisky even just to run the Wildcat? Why? Mitch, what's the point of that? You know, Nick Foles. It looks like to me they're torn. I talked to Sammy Evans a lot during the Bears game. Obviously, he's a big Bears fan. Shout out Sammy. They try so hard to have balance, right? To where they just, you know, we're going to keep giving it to Montgomery. We're going to keep giving it to Montgomery. We're going to establish this run game. And it just doesn't happen. And then when they come out and play with tempo, things happen. So why not just, okay, we're going to play with tempo and just run the ball and just keep you honest? Because that's what we are right now.
Now?
You know, sometimes, I mean, I know you have scheme, you have game plan, but, I mean, you got to play with the talent you have. They have a couple receivers that are stepping up for him a little bit. Allen Robinson, I don't know why they don't throw him the ball more. It seems like they only do, like, when they are in a straight throwing situation, they need a big play, then they look to Allen Robinson. Why not just look to him more throughout the course of a game? I mean, I know he had Marshawn Lattimore on him, Buckeye, but I don't know. To me, the offense doesn't have an identity, or they're having an identity crisis, I should say. So, we will see. 49ers at Seahawks. We both picked the Seahawks. They end up winning. The 49ers, just they can't buy a break. Jimmy G, out at least six weeks, could be eight with a high ankle, or it could be the full season if he has surgery. And George Kittle, they found a broken bone in his foot, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the season for him.
Yeah, to me, they were just coming on. The defense was getting it together, and now you're throwing in Mullins again, and which he was 18 for 25, 238 yards, two touchdowns. But basically, the game was fucking over at that time. You know, I mean, you're down 30-14 in the fourth quarter, and they let you come back a little bit, you know. But yeah, the Niners are done. I'll go ahead and throw it up for them. They're done. You can't lose Garoppolo and George Kittle and go on a playoff run with Mullins as your quarterback. Sorry, Niner fans.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it is what it is. You're just up against too much right now. Where are we at here? Cowboys at Eagles. This was Sunday Night Football, correct? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
We both picked the Eagles with confidence. They won. Easily. But Carson Wentz is trash. The NFC East is trash. It's a shame. Dak Prescott might be the only person to get hurt and make more money. Because if he can come back 100%, you got to pay the man. Because now you see how valuable he is to your offense. And you can, I know you're all your Cowboys slander, all that. I get it. As a Giants fan, I get it. You know what I mean? But they have not, they scored more points in the fourth quarter of, what would that be, the Browns game, which was 24 points, than they have the three games since he got hurt.
They have, but again, they are two robbery calls against the Giants and an onside kick away from being 0-8.
Well,
so I mean, I'm just saying.
And I don't see them. Now you have Andy Dalton. You have Andy Dalton with COVID.
Yeah.
So he's. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. You've got Zeke, 19 carries and only 63 yards against Philly's D. I mean, he's got to produce more.
They had 42 guys in the box.
Right, and that's because they've got fucking Billy DiGiorno at quarterback. Worked for the pizza factory last week, and now he's out there playing for the fucking Cowboys.
It was very apparent early in that game that the speed of the game was way too fast for him. And the fact that they kept running gimmick plays, listen, as a Browns fan, I went through 20 years of this shit. Of quarterbacks getting hurt, of drafting guys that you have no intention of playing at the quarterback position, end up starting games for you in the middle of the season, not even towards the end, not even a mop-up dude, but starting fucking games you need. We're bringing guys up from the practice squad, which is what they're talking about doing with Cooper Rush now. It is what it is. If your quarterback play is so bad, and I mentioned this last week, it's a slippery slope. Because you get to a point where you can't evaluate the rest of the talent. Because basically, they're going to be in talent evaluation mode, right?
Yep.
They're not going to look at, we're trying to win games, trying to make a playoff push, whatever, whatever. It's evaluate who we have, who we want to keep for what we want to do going forward. And if you have a quarterback that's so bad, how are you going to evaluate? And the offensive line is bad, too. They're so banged up, it's not even really giving a young kid a chance. But he's doing shit like throwing the ball out of bounds or throwing it to Amari Cooper, who's already out of bounds. Can't even get the ball down the field. Has no idea what he's looking at as far as the defense. So that, to me, spells disaster for any kind of evaluation you want to have to do, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, they looked a little bit better. But Carson Wentz is garbage.
123 yards, two touchdowns, two picks against that Dallas D.
As bad as we sit there and just shit on Ben DiNucci, he threw for more yards than Carson Wentz.
Well, he threw 13 more times too. But yeah, he fuck. The difference was, like you said, the Cowboys defense actually played decent and made Wentz look bad. I mean, they were winning at halftime. And then they get outscored 16-0 in the second half. So they went in, they made the adjustments. You know, that's what it is. They made the adjustments. So to me, that's what happened in that game. I mean, Dallas doesn't. Let's put the fucking cards out there. I don't want to slander them. They're done. You know, right or wrong.
Not yet in that division, unfortunately. But again, what are you playing for? Can you even do any kind of damage in the playoffs? At what point do you start thinking, okay, I need to play for a draft pick? I am a proponent of tanking, by the way.
Yeah, but see, it's so hard to fucking tank in that division because, again, the Giants are 1-6 or 1-7 here. And they're two games out of fucking first place playing Washington this week, the team they beat. So now you win that game, you're a game out. And then, you know, you got the Cowboys again at home where you're not going to get robbed. That's a win. And then, you know, you have some other winnable games out there. So, but I'll get to my Giants here shortly.
Steelers at Ravens. We both picked the Steelers with confidence. Came down to the last play. Lamar had four turnovers. They weren't very good at all. Yeah, Marquise Brown upset that he's not getting used in kind of a cryptic tweet. That's kind of what was, you know, interpreted from that tweet. Lamar just doesn't have the same feel as he did last year. That unstoppable. They ran for 265. They ran for 265 yards in an NFL game and lost. And Lamar has not. My big fear, and again, I am a fan of the Browns, obviously, and I'm looking at these teams in division. Okay, we got Burrow twice for a long time. We got Lamar twice for a long time. Ben Roethlisberger's still there. Lamar has not progressed throwing the ball like I thought he would. Now, his recall and what he sees is great, but he just, if that dude would have played baseball growing up, he would be the greatest quarterback of all time. He's that talented. But when you get in a position where he has to throw them to a win, it doesn't happen. And that's four regular season losses to them for him in the last 2 years. In each one, they're the best front runners in the league because of that running game. They can control the clock on you. But if you jump out on them, make Lamar have to throw, not as great. Yeah, I know you saw a little bit of that game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's the same team. It's the same team from last year. Nothing's changed. Why would you change? You know what I mean? What were they last year?
14-2.
14-2, yeah. So, I mean, same formula, winning formula. That's their makeup. And J.K. Dobbins, a fucking, you know, an Ohio State product. Yep. You know, a bomb. You know, he's not really, but he played Ohio State, so I have to call him bum. But 113 yards, 15 carries. You know, Snead had 106 yards receiving. But Lamar, like you said, Lamar just hasn't progressed. He hasn't adapted. To me, he hasn't adapted to that, the throwing. Instead of taking off first, that's still his number one thing is his legs. He's the most dangerous. That's what made him who he is. So you can't change that. But that's only going to get you so far, in my opinion.
So we'll see. It looks like, I mean, there's no talk of MVP talk. Nothing like that coming out of Baltimore right now for him. So, and like you said, they did add J.K. Dobbins. They don't use him a lot. I think they should use him more because he does seem to produce when he gets his hands on the ball. But, yeah, obviously they see the dude in practice every day. So we'll see.
To me, he's a younger Ingram. He's a younger version of Mark Ingram. So why would you not use him?
They like Gus Edwards a lot. And on the flip side, Pittsburgh, the last undefeated team in the NFL, they are clicking all cylinders. I think last year the defense took a huge step. They're the best defense in the NFL. They have weapons on offense, and Roethlisberger still has some gas left in the tank.
Yeah, they're going to be very dangerous.
They're a scary football team. So that AFC North is a nasty division to be playing in right now when you got to play Pittsburgh and Baltimore twice each in the Bengals. I'm kind of glad the Bengals were done with them this year because it looks like they're getting better.
Yeah.
Brewers. I'm glad we don't play them like week 14.
Who you play week 14? Probably the fucking Giants or somebody.
I think we play the Giants week 16.
Oh, even better.
Because I've said for the Browns, you know, 8 wins is very doable going to December with the Jets week 15 and the Giants week 16.
Wow.
Not that that's a gimme game by any means, because the Giants have played a lot of close games this year. But I'm saying it's very winnable because you got Tennessee and Pittsburgh sandwiched around them.
Yeah, it was week 15 we play you guys.
Okay. Next up, Chargers at Broncos. You picked the Broncos. I picked the Chargers. Drew Lock took them down the field at the end of the game and won the game and started strutting on that ass.
He started dugging on them.
He's got some sauce, man. I like Drew Lock a lot. Justin Herbert, again, putting up big numbers. Another kid from the rookie quarterback class. He's been 300 yards every week. Starting in fantasy. He's a great play in FanDuel in the DFS. Because he's about fifth or sixth highest, most expensive quarterback. And, you know, you're looking at 303 tutties every fucking week with this dude. He is standing up strong in the pocket, throwing the ball downfield, and giving those playmakers, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, chances to make plays for him.
Yeah, I mean, and third quarter, they're up 24-3.
Yeah.
And then the homie, Philip Lindsay, breaks out a big, you know, 50-plus yard run. And that just, I mean, and on the sideline, you see him, he was pumping everybody up. You know, fourth quarter, Lock throws a touchdown, cuts it to 1. Badgley kicks a 47-yard field goal, extends it to 10. But then, you know, Denver scores again very quickly in 27 seconds. Badgley kicks a field goal, makes it 6. But then your boy, KJ Hamler, with time expired.
My boy.
Yep. Gets the touchdown. Drew Lock dances on him. And they kick the extra point for the victory.
Yeah, so, I mean, Herbert's success hasn't translated into wins yet, but they definitely have their quarterback. And now the Monday night game, the game that we recorded this on Tuesday, we watched last night. Bucks at Giants. You, of course, picked your beloved New York Giants, who are wearing throwback uniforms. I picked the Bucks, who probably should have been wearing throwback uniforms as well. I never understood the only one team wears throwbacks. How both teams wear them? Looks fucking cool. A lot going on in this game. Daniel Jones really struggled throwing the deep ball. And then, you know, just give Tom Brady too many chances. Basically what happened. They played a strong, strong 2.5 quarters. And actually played well down the stretch. But too many missed opportunities throughout the course of that game. And then you had a questionable call at the end, which, you know, basically them not being able to connect a lot of the downfield throws put them in position to put the game in the ref's hands.
Absolutely. I mean, and here's what, you know, I hate that I got to talk bad about my fucking Giants here, but, you know, you said two quarters or whatever, they were ahead. Third quarter, they're up 17-15, you know, and here's what happens. They kick that field goal. They're up 17-15. The fucking Buccaneers come out. And the Giants forced the first 3-and-out. They forced the whole game in the fourth quarter. And Daniel Jones throws another fucking pick that he has no bit. Throw it away. Or take the sack. His field awareness is fucking a 2 out of 10, maybe. I mean, it's hard to fucking...
Yeah, I mean, when he's in the... he just, this ain't college anymore, man. You know what I mean? When the play is dead, it's dead. Don't throw the ball as you're getting tackled. You cannot put the ball up for grabs in the NFL. It's a lesson that Carson Wentz has not learned. And to me, Barry, this isn't a troll on you. I think he looks like a broke-ass Carson Wentz.
Max Kellerman actually made that tweet, said that Daniel Jones looks like Carson Wentz minus some talent.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I don't follow Max Kellerman, but okay. All right. I mean, somebody else thinks that too, but
yeah. So you're not alone there.
But I don't know if he's, I don't see it. He's not accurate with the football. He can't feel the rush. His anticipation isn't good. He doesn't read defenses particularly well. I know he doesn't. I know he has a lot of guys hurt. No Saquon hurts. I get all that. But I'm just not ready to push all the chips on the table, middle of the table for Daniel Jones yet.
No, and that's the thing is, I mean, you were talking during the game. I mean, he missed at least 4, maybe 5 throws.
I had 4.
I mean, Slayton was wide fucking open. He throws a pick to the other side of the field. And then he overthrew Slayton again in the fucking end zone. Slayton didn't even know where the ball was.
That interception, Slayton had a walk-in touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, he was walking. I mean, he just... You can't give Tom Brady chance after chance. And our defense has played fucking stellar. 2-3 games, they've played stellar. And they, for some reason, the fucking offense just can't close out a game. And when you're on a slide like that, of course, you get a close call. Even at home, we can't get that fucking call. And that's what happens. So hopefully they can get a little momentum against Washington, get shit straight, and, you know, maybe finish the season 4-5-11, win the East, and fucking let's get out of there, you know, because, you know, I don't think Philly's going to do much, and I don't, Washington ain't doing nothing, the Cowboys ain't doing nothing. Like I said, the team that goes on a 3-game win streak in that division wins it. They win it all.
Runs away with it.
Yeah.
All right, you ready to do a week 9 pick 'em?
I'm absolutely ready.
All right. Let me go ahead and mark it up here. On Thursday night, we have Packers at 49ers. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to run with the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well. I would have probably took the 49ers if Jimmy G and Kittle didn't get hurt.
It's too banged up, man. Way too banged up. Ravens at Colts. Go ahead, Barry.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
I, too, am going to go with the Ravens. I don't see them losing 2 in a row to this Colts team. I see them being able to jump out. I'll tell you what. If the Colts somehow, some way, they have an athletic defense and Darius Leonard is a monster.
Well, that he is.
I'm putting upset alert on this one.
Okay.
So this will not surprise me if the Colts win this game, just because we talked about, as we get into this year, teams and their matchups, right? And if we this goes all the way back to last year, we were talking where teams are going to figure out how to play Lamar.
Yep.
And you may be seeing a little bit of that with some of the chinks in the armor we've seen in Lamar this year. Giants at Washington football team. Barry?
Taking the Giants.
Off a bye, I'm going to take Washington.
Sickening.
Bears at Titans. Ooh, I'm going to let you go first.
You know what? I'm going to take Derrick. I'd fucking love Derrick Henry. I'm going to take Titans.
I'm going to go ahead and take the Titans as well, just because I don't think – I know this is like redundant, like point of the game shit. I don't think the Bears have the ability to score points with the Titans.
Okay.
I just I don't see it. That offense scares the shit out of me. Lions at Vikings. Here's a good one. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Lions.
Are they at Minnesota?
At Minnesota.
Dalvin Cook played a big game. I'll take the Vikings at home.
I feel like that's a pick 'em.
Yeah, that could go.
Do you have the spread? What's the spread on that?
Because Minnesota's at home, I'm almost probably banking they're like 3-point favorites because they're at home.
Panthers at Chiefs. I'm going to confidently take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to confidently take the Chiefs as well.
Your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater?
You know, he's resurrected himself a little bit in my eyes. I mean, he's played well, but I mean, of course, to me, he's not your, you know, franchise quarterback. He's that guy that gets you through, you know what I mean? And has potential to win big games, but he's probably not going to, I guess is where I would go. And the line is actually Minnesota -4. So they're 4-point favorites.
Texans at Jags. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Texans. I think no doubter there.
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans as well. Jags playing their backup quarterback. Texans couldn't trade Fuller, which is disappointing for them. I wish some of these teams would start looking at, like, I know it's not baseball and NBA where you can just plug a guy in and let him play. There's a whole, like, game plan, the way things want to do things and scheme. It's what makes football a little more unique. But I feel like you got to move Will Fuller. You know, you're going to let him walk. He's on an expiring contract. You're not going anywhere. Get what you can.
Yep.
Which is probably why that deal wasn't done, because the Packers knew that. I guess the Texans were asking for a second.
Oh.
Which just seems a little steep. I think fourth would have been a nice number to Packers to maybe get to. They should have been able to agree on a fourth. That's just me though. Seahawks at Bills. Go ahead, Barry.
Man, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, but not so fast.
Uh-oh.
Going to take Russell's love muscle to go into Buffalo and get it done. The Bills are struggling a little bit here. They're on, a 2-game losing streak?
Well, they just beat the Patriots.
Yeah, but that don't count.
And they beat the Jets.
That doesn't count.
It was all field goals. They haven't looked good. They haven't looked good in these games.
And they're playing the Seahawks. Seahawks are going to blister that ass by 10.
I'm taking the Seahawks as well. Something's not quite right in Buffalo right now. So, not that it's not quite. Maybe Josh Allen's a little bit of a funk. They got Zach Moss back. They've been running the ball. I feel like Singletary, they got to figure out what to do with him. Stephon Diggs is a great pickup for them. But I don't see them being able to score points with the Seahawks. Broncos at Falcons. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take. We'll take the Falcons.
Drew Locke came down, danced a little bit. Phillip Lindsay's on the fucking tear. I'm going to take the Broncos to go into Atlanta and let them blow another lead.
Raiders at Chargers.
Man, that's another close one. I think this is another pick 'em to me. I like Josh J. I'll take the Raiders in that run game.
Raiders are really a tough team to figure out. The Chargers are just a team right now. They're having trouble closing out games. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Chargers as well. Oh, the Raiders as well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Steelers at Cowboys. I'm going to go ahead and confidently write down the Steelers.
Fucking dog walked. Steelers.
Yeah, this one has potential to be ugly. Dolphins at Cardinals. I'm going to go ahead and take the Cardinals.
I would hope so. I'm going to take the Cardinals as well.
But you just don't know what Dolphins team is going to show up.
That's true.
Sometimes they come out with world beaters. They're hard to pick. I like Kyler Murray. I like the Cardinals. I like Buda Baker. I like Pat Pete. They have pieces. I think Christian Kirk is underutilized. Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds are two good runners. I think Kenyon Drake's out for a little bit, so it's going to be Chase Edmonds for a little bit. Larry Fitz. I think the Cardinals have some dudes. I really do. I like the scheme. Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they got some dudes, man. You know what I mean? And, like, I love the scheme. I think they got the right quarterback for it. I think that the coach and the quarterback, they have a good symmetry going right now. So, I'm a Kyler Murray fan. I like the kid a lot. Like seeing maybe adjust that throw motion a little bit. He kind of throws just like a – he has that, like, long loopy, but he's short, so it's not quite long and loopy.
Right.
But, I mean, he literally throws that thing like a shortstop. Saints at Bucks on Sunday Night Football. I'm going to go ahead and take Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Yeah, that's that's tough. Fuck. And Brady and Drew Brees are 1-2 most touchdowns of all time, most touchdown passes, and they keep trading it. You took the Bucks. I'll take Drew Brees. I think he goes down to Tampa Bay and they sneak one out of there.
You took the Saints?
Yep. I think they sneak one out of there. I'm gonna say 38-35. Alvin Kamara has a big day.
Monday Night Football. Patriots at Jets. I'm going to confidently write down the Patriots.
Yeah. I'll take the Patriots as well.
And on byes this week, you have the Rams, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Browns. So that's it. I will say last week, let me pull up the numbers here.
Yeah, what happened last week?
You went 9-4. I went 8-5.
Oh.
That puts you at 68-46, puts me at 73-41.
Nice.
So the math was off a little bit last week. I gave myself four random losses out of nowhere for some reason. I fucked up on the math. So I was a little confused. Like, I did them today. Like, why don't our games match up? Like, why do I have more games picked? I was confused. But that's our NFL week pick 'em for a week 9, week 8 review. Anything else you want to talk about, Barry?
No, nah, man, I think we got it, and this is fun. We enjoy talking sports, and enjoy talking football, baseball, all that stuff, basketball when it comes back around. These shows here are right in our wheelhouse. We are two sports nuts. We're not like, oh, we got one team. Like, Eric's a Browns fan, I'm a Giants fan. We don't just watch those one teams and be like, oh, we're cool. We fucking watch everybody.
We watch everything.
We love sports. So, yeah, man, this is fun. I absolutely enjoyed doing this.
Yeah, so we're doing separate shows each week on our NFL pick'ems, NFL reviews, whatever you want to call them. Barry, this is fun, man. I really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun doing this.
Absolutely. And, again, thank you guys for listening. Good night, and God bless.
Yeah.
Peace.
It goes 1, 2, 3 into the foe. Eric and Barry are up with ETF, and that's for show. If you don't come correct, you get your ass full. So take a minute and chill until the next episode. Doing the favor, always bringing the heat. That's why Barry got your girl doing legwork in the sheets. My dude Eric holding down for the streets. Them Ohio players got their ears to the beat. Gotta say that we appreciate the time. Whether you're on the job or trying to unwind. Just a few more days until we're back live. will be your lifeline. I know you feel me on the mic with the flavor. Let it marinate in something to savor. We ball so hard, this is a layup. Until the next time, doing the favor. Yeah, doing the favor. Doing the favor. Doing the favor. Until next time, doing the favor.